For example, if an Ashipu saw a black pig, the patient would die. If he saw a white pig, the patient would be cured, or he would be in great distress. And there are other signs that an Ashipu could see. It's not just focused on pigs. But you see that even as the Ashipu travels to help the sick individual, that the illness can be exacerbated or lessened depending on what happens on his way to the house. In addition to casting spells to drive out demons, an Ashipu could make amulets to help protect individuals from the curse of an illness. So this is a sort of preventive medicine. While illness was a manifestation of evil, it also needed to be treated by a physician, who was called an asu. The diagnosis of illness required the rational observation of symptoms in order to undertake the correct treatment, and this shows the scientific approach of Babylonian medicine. A physician would examine the patient, check their temperature all over their body, look for any discoloration or inflammation of the skin, and this would be what he would do immediately upon arrival. Several medical texts detail particular types of ailments. Gynecological problems, skin and eye diseases were especially common in the written sources. An entry describing an illness would consist of two parts. The first was a description of the symptoms, and the second was the treatment, or occasionally the prognosis. And just as we saw with the Ashipu and the omens that he could see on the way to the patient's home, the prognosis is often not good. One example of this is a list that includes a description of a stroke. If a man is stricken with a stroke of the face and his whole torso feels paralyzed, he will die. Prescriptions were made by combining plants and herbs with minerals or animal products. We don't know the exact recipe used for these prescriptions because the names of some of the plants can't be correlated with known flora or fauna. So we don't know what exactly the physician was using as he was creating this prescription. We do know that prescriptions were delivered in pill form. They could be added to beer, wine, or water. Sometimes they were even inhaled in steam baths. Plaster and skin salves could be applied topically, either over or under bandages. And some remedies, such as potassium nitrate, are still used today. The concept of contagion was known in Mesopotamian medicine, but the causes weren't really understood. Our evidence for this knowledge comes from our old friend Zimri Lim, who advised his wife to avoid a woman in her quarters who was sick, and this would prevent her from being ill. Kings had their own physicians, and sometimes if a fellow ruler fell ill, they would send their court physician to help effect a cure. A king, of course, would have the best-known physicians and the most successful doctors to help him survive illness. Zimri Lim listed a female physician among his staff, and a few female physicians, even surgeons, are known, but midwives appear much more commonly in texts. And some of the texts in which midwives appear are songs or spells that would be chanted during childbirth to help ease the delivery or prevent illness of either the child or the mother. So midwives are constantly referred to in these texts. Surgeons are also known, although rarely from medical texts. We've seen this already in the Law Code of Hammurabi that assigned a fine or a punishment when a surgeon fails to perform his task successfully. A few laws also protected the surgeon from malpractice lawsuits. The study of medicine is hindered by the fact that most subjects were learned through hands-on experience rather than from texts. So doctors didn't go to school where they learned how to read or write and read the lists of symptoms that I've been describing. So it is difficult to know even the important details about this subject.